Welcome to Growth Marketing Camp, a podcast powered by OpenSense, where we sit down with leaders and founders from diverse backgrounds in marketing, tech, and beyond to explore what it takes to build a leading brand that's shaping the world of B2B. Let's get into it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special and very exclusive episode of Growth Marketing Camp. I'm your host, Jazz Binning, and today I'm excited to welcome a very good friend of ours, the wonderful Melissa Moody, co-founder and CMO of Gated. Melissa, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. So glad to be here. I am an avid consumer of Growth Marketing Camp content, so it's always an honor to join you in the studio.
Amazing. And I know the first time you already had a chance to meet my partner and co-host, Bobby. So we brought you back because same as us, we can't get enough of Gated and we can't get enough of you.
Thank you. Yes, I remember the conversation with Bobby being such a great one. And I know that you and I are about to have a great conversation as well.
Oh, totally. And I think this is a little bit different. And this episode is going to be, again, a little bit different than what we typically do at Growth Marketing Camp. We're chatting today because Gated has been cooking up something new and exciting, and we've got the pleasure of actually sharing the exclusive into this journey. Before I actually get into the questions, I want to know how excited you are to share this evolution of Gated with us, Growth Marketing Camp, and our community.
Oh, I love having a platform to give a little bit more of the scoop. You know, as marketers, we work so hard to get just the right words, like the pithy headline or that one visual image. You know, you work so hard, and it is hard, but I love being able to sit down with you and actually peel back the layer and give the scoop, give the inside stuff about how we came up with this, why we're so excited for the future and what it takes to deliver, of course.
Yeah. And I think anyone who's listening, including ourselves, we take a lot of notes and we try to get a lot of inspiration from our guests. But every single B2B brand out there, especially if they are focused on innovating, they're going to pivot some way or another. You've been in the middle of it. You've been planning it for, and we'll find out here for, I'm sure, a very long time. You've seen what's working. You've probably planned out. You're going to be testing. So for us, it's like going to be awesome to see where you guys were at, where you're headed, and everything you have done up until this point and what you're planning on doing. But I'm just going to get right into it. The new future of Gated is here. It's looking bright. Tell us what inspired you to make such a massive pivot.
I'm very lucky because one of the major drivers for our pivot that's coming up, and it really is, it's what we've been calling the next evolution of Gated. It's really a very large change for the product we've delivered and even the audience we're speaking to. But one of the things that I'm most proud of and that I get so excited is that part of this pivot, or a large part of the pivot, came from listening to our audience. So it wasn't necessarily this massive business-driven project, or, you know, there's a lot of reasons why pivots happen. The way that this precipitated for us was we are very passionate about listening to our users, listening to our customers, and we heard some very great insights, one in particular that I wanted to bring up, which was with the first iteration of Gated, which is an email management system. It's very different than most email management you've seen before, but it's focused on your inbox, and a lot of it's focused on filtering out stuff that you don't want to hear, and how do we do that, and doing it in an innovative way. Well, people love that. People absolutely love the product, but it relies on this idea that we need to disconnect, that we need to unplug and stop listening in order to focus. And there is a group of people who love that, and we're very happy that they love it. But there was another half or more of our audience who said, I need to focus. I want to stay on my goals. I love the ability to get focused, but I don't want to disconnect. In fact, in today's world, I, as a professional, need to be more connected, not less connected. Now, it's really tricky because I think we all know the value in stepping away from work, refreshing our brains, taking a digital detox every now and again. But for the most part, today's professionals are being challenged to be more places, be more present, have more connectivity in their lives. And so what is really neat about this pivot for Gated is we are leaning into that. We are saying, you are people who need to be out there with a public presence, building your personal brand, being a thought leader. How do you do that? Be more connected and still not be overwhelmed or, you know, fight against this tendency toward being absolutely crushed with the inbound noise that comes when you're a public presence. And so for me, the most exciting thing about the pivot is it's based off of listening to our audience saying, I want to be more connected. I want to show up on more platforms, but still have that control over my attention. And really, our mission as a company has stayed the same with the old product and the new one. Our mission is to help humans stay focused in a digitally noisy world. More simply, we like to say to take back control of your attention. So that audience-driven insight being a major player in our pivot makes me as a marketer very happy. It gets me excited that we're doing something for the audience and for our users as opposed to flat out for the business need. Now, of course, we're a startup, so there's a lot of business pressures and funding pressures and all of that, but very, very proud to lean into the fact that this pivot came from the audience itself.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And you touched on a few things. First, the fact that it came from your customers. It came from the people who are already opted integrated. You also mentioned that it's inspired by just the way the world is right now, right? Where it's highly stimulated business professionals. And so you guys aren't just focused on your business, but this is what the world looks like today. And so instead of forcing other people to adapt to the old ways, you guys are doing what you need to do to change gated to adapt to the new ways, including your customers, the people. And that's, again, you guys are doing that at this stage. It's thinking ahead and you're doing it in a way where long-term, it's going to be beneficial for Gated. And that's how most marketers should be thinking about their product and how they actually update their product and reach out to their audience. So I absolutely love that.
Yeah. The now versus future state is a difficult thing to think about from both a marketing and a startup marketer, which is like changing very fast. But I think we've also seen in the space that we play in itself, in the communication space, we are learning that filtering, for lack of a better broad term, is a losing game. I mean, if you look at the amount of inbound that's going to increase in the next years ahead, especially, you know, hello, ChatGPT, the inbound is just going to get exponentially worse. So if it's constantly this game of, I need to filter out stuff that is landing on my plate, I mean, I don't think that we as humans are going to be in a place to succeed, period. I don't think we're going to win that battle. And so we are not just looking at the now from a positioning standpoint, but we're looking at the now from like a technology and where society is standpoint. And we're saying that if we want to succeed in the future, what we really need to be doing is giving people the ability to set boundaries before all the crap hits them. It's not an easy thing. I've done a lot of reading on, you know, on the psychological aspect of setting boundaries. It's hard to say, I'm not just going to take everything and then deal with it myself. We have this tendency to say like, I'll take care of it. I'll deal with it. I don't think we're going to be able to do that as, you know, sorry, the robots are taking over, right? As we're getting a lot more technology throwing things our way. So yeah, we're very committed to building tools that help humans succeed in that world, not just try to fight back against that world.
And then for your current customers, the people who know the old Gated, what does it mean for them, right? Does that mean the old Gated is completely changing? What parts of it are changing and what parts of it can they still hold on to?
Yeah, well, I will say the lucky thousands who are already using Gated as it is, they can continue using it as it stands. The two products are not integrated per se. So we are really building a separate new platform, leaning into the fact that Gated is now this kind of multi-channel solution versus our original. But it does still exist for the people who use it and love it, but it is pretty hard to find a new sign up. So if you miss the first boat, you may have to wait around and see the future of the email solution before you get a new sign up. So,
well, I think it's going to be great for anyone who's opted in and who's understanding of Gated to opt into the future, right? It's a little bit easier to look forward than look backward anyways. So in a world where everyone wants a piece of your time, what are some of the ways that the new Gated helps busy professionals stay sane, safeguard their time, and connect only with the people that are bringing music into their lives?
You know, on our website, we have a manifesto, and that sounds really cheesy. And I know that they're probably way overdone in a lot of circles, but we took ours really seriously. We put a lot of effort and a lot of research into what our manifesto is about. Really, what it comes down to is the new Gated is doubling down on this idea that you should have some control over your attention. You should have some agency over what steals your attention away or what deserves it and what gets it in a good way. So if, you know, just to go into a couple, it's really only a 3-point manifesto. It's 3 sentences, but those points really echo what we're doing with Gated. So the first is we have a fundamental belief that if you share what you care about and you communicate proactively what you're interested in, better communication overall. It's going to lead to senders actually knowing what you care about so they target better. It's going to lead to you having that boundary setting so you're able to say, sorry, no thanks to the things that don't matter or to set them aside. The second point is really about this idea that we should be allowed to influence messages that are coming our way before they get to us. That's the point I brought up earlier, which is if we live in a mindset of, I'm going to take everything and filter it out, we're going to be underwater really soon. Even Google's best spam filters and all of the technology that we have for keyboard strokes to get things out of the inbox faster or automate our replies in LinkedIn DMs, it's all still just dealing with the mess. And so the second point of the manifesto is really this idea that we want to give people controls to proactively address what could be potentially the future mess, to get a little bit ahead of things. And the last point I think that's very important to us, and you're going to see in this new evolution of Gated, is you know what's important to you. And right now, a lot of the platforms that we take part in, Twitter, LinkedIn, email, they're kind of telling you what should be on your to-do list, what should be important for you. And that's not always right. And so we're trying to give the agency back to you to say, this is what I actually care about. It's not necessarily just because I'm connected to someone in the first degree that they're more important to me, right? It's a small change, but what it does is it opens up a bigger world for those professionals who want to connect to opportunity, because then they can say, I don't actually care where the opportunity comes from if it fits what's important to me and it actually resonates. So just because I don't have a connection to someone doesn't mean that they have any less worth if they're bringing something that's really relevant to what I care about. And those are three very philosophical standpoints in the manifesto, but they manifest as, you know, pieces of the solution that we provide, and they manifest as other companies that we like to align with and say, yeah, we're all seeing a future where people can get more signal and less noise, like more of the good stuff.
First off, I want to say we have a manifesto too. I see the value in it. And again, it gets companies aligned and it gets the marketing team working towards a singular vision. I love that you guys put so much thought into yours. And I love that your guys' manifesto, it outlines an ideal state for today's busy professional. And again, you tap into the way the world is today. You tap into the stuff that worked for the old Gated and your customers who are using the old Gated, but you made it better. So I absolutely love that. Before your guys' big reveal, you guys went completely dark. That's a brave and bold decision, especially when it comes to a big evolution of your brand. Tell us a little bit more about that and the strategy behind that.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, currently as of today, as Jess and I are talking, our website is fully dark, literally dark. It is a very dark charcoal gray with some teaser wording on it. You know, why we did that? I'll be perfectly honest. Logistically, it helped our small team a lot. It allowed me as a marketer to stop running all of the run the business from the first solution that we did and focus entirely on what we are about to deliver. So it's a little bit because we needed it. Same with our product team. Our CTO is working around the clock to deliver this new solution. And if he was still focused on inbound traffic and new signups and feature bug, you know, resolution with the first product, it'd be very hard for him to fully immerse himself in the new solution. So it was more of a logistical choice to go dark than anything else. But I think as a marketer, anyone can understand it's a fun thing to lean into, to have a teaser coming up, to tell people that something is coming. It also allowed me to help bring the brand along. What we were over the last year and a half is going to look significantly different when we launch our new solution. And that's okay, because we're going to be talking to a much bigger, broader audience than just our existing users. But I'm very conscious that I want our existing users to understand there is going to be an evolution here and it is going to look different. And not everybody loves everything about it, but going dark was a part of that, which says there's a little bit of a break between who we were and who we're going to be. So I can kind of seed the idea to bring them along in that process.
Yeah. So first off, I want to call it out and shout you out for sharing that it was dark for a logistic reason. You know, you think marketers are very, very creative people. So it's like you'll come up with, most people will say, no, it was all a part of the, you know, it's something that we had to do. But honestly, again, going back to your guys' manifesto and going back to why Gated exists, you guys are busy. You're probably extremely busy. And the fact that instead of overworking yourself and pushing yourself, and again, you limit yourself creatively when you're forced to continue to just keep operating, when you've got something big on the horizon, you basically were able to just say, you know what, we're going to take a pause and I'm going to do this the right way. Like, I can imagine that must have been a very difficult decision for you.
Yeah. And it was refreshing though. It felt very good, honestly, to be able to not overthink going from one to the other and one previous website to a new website and all the complications with it. It was very nice to slap something up that said, something new is coming. Stay with us. And we have a little bit more than that on the site. Like there's a bit more, but I didn't have to overthink it. And that was very nice because I'm overthinking everything else.
Yep. Yep. And over with overthinking and you know, you're going to risk a lot of actual creativity and strategic thinking that's going to come as a result of, no, we need to do something quickly. So I love that.
One more small thought. I always laugh too, because in the end, how many people are really going to see it? I mean, we are not, you know, Google. It's not billions of people hitting the web page every day. So that was one thing that also took the pressure off, which is I'm deep in the weeds of who we were and how we're evolving and what we're going to be. But most people out there are like, I don't know. I just kind of heard about this gated thing, you know, and they land there. So there's not so much pressure on you when you really, really think about it. That's probably a good tip for listeners is step back. Like nobody else cares about this as much as you do.
100%. Absolutely. So thank you for mentioning that too. And it's, again, getting out of your own head and realizing that at the end of the day, people are just focused on building their business. They're focused on trying to do the best work they can. And you are doing the same thing. And if anything, it's going to make people curious if they showed up. No one's going to say, what the hell, you know, what happened with Gated? Yeah. And if it does, they're going to probably reach out to you because they're that invested in the brand that they're feeling shocked by it. They're going to want to know what's going on. So to everyone else, why should people join in along the ride? Give me exclusive insights, use cases, tips and tricks for your future audience.
Ooh, this is fun because as we're recording it, it's not yet live, but by the time this comes out, I suppose it will be. So, you know, what's been really neat is we are currently in a phase of what we're calling soft launch. The product is out for a select group of early users and they are starting to test it. And they are playing with it and they are seeing where the value is that comes from them. So what I can tell you comes not from how I think people will use it, but how I'm starting to see people use it. And I will say that we're seeing some really neat personas emerge, one of which I like to call kind of the thought leader or the, you know, personal branding star, someone who's really already made a name for themselves on LinkedIn. But another persona that's been really cool is what I like to call the rising star. It's someone who is striving to be more focused in how they show up and striving to become a thought leader. And it's become a tool that they are really leaning into for this reason. So a couple of the tips and tricks, as you asked about, that I'm seeing people are really using it well for is the first is for setting boundaries. Like I mentioned, humans have a really tough time saying no and putting a boundary up that says, this is okay with me and anything else, it's a no-go for me. Well, in the digital world, it's the same thing. It's a little bit awkward. If someone sends you an email and they tell you all about why they want to sell you this new technology that has no relevance for you, a lot of us probably still feel like we need to respond and say, oh, thank you so much. I'm doing this. You know, there's a lot of emotional burden to respond to everyone. I talk to a lot of marketers in particular. I think we are big softies. We think we need to send a response to everyone, which is a very overwhelming feeling. And so one of the big tips and tricks for Gated is it can become that digital boundary. Quick little story. Probably about a year ago, I reached out to Chris Walker online. I don't remember. It was maybe to be on the podcast or something. And I asked him for something. And he said, well, actually, here are the three things I'm working on right now. If it fits into those three things, I'm game. Let's do it. If it doesn't, it's a no for me. I'm really busy and I'm trying to focus my time. Now, that could feel really rude, but it didn't. It felt like he was respecting his time. I was impressed at how focused he was. And what Gated is doing, the like tip and trick here is lean on it like a digital boundary. It helps you get out of a lot of conversations when you say, this is where I'm focused on. So Gated lets you set your three focus areas and say, this is what really matters to me. The side conversation that I'm getting to is, if it's not on there, it's a thank you no for me right now. And it's not because I don't want to help. It's not because I'm not a helper and a giver, because we only have limited bandwidth. So I think like the big tip and trick for how to use Gated is start using it as your digital boundary, a really polite, frank way to say, this is what I have to spend my time on. And the rest, sorry, it's not that I don't care. It's just that it doesn't fit into my goals right now. I think we don't have that right now and it's hard. And so I'm hoping that Gated can really be a tool for a lot of people with that. The other tip and trick is that, I mean, it's just a great way to get your online presence more focused and clear, whether you're already a thought leader or whether you want to be a thought leader or whether you just, you know, are shaping what people think of you. We've got hashtags on LinkedIn, but Gated is going to let you say, like, this is who I am. This is the stuff I really care about. And it's pretty neat to watch some of our early users say, yeah, tech and wellness, SaaS startup growth, and, you know, wine tasting, right? Or marathon running. People are putting themselves out there and saying, this is the stuff I actually care about. And it's letting people be very focused, and it's letting them be more than just a title or a hashtag on LinkedIn.
I love that. And thanks for sharing, by the way, the experience of email that Chris Walker replied back to you. Because again, you're right, marketers are softies. I mean, I'm speaking from being a marketer myself. When I get people reaching out to me and I'm going through my inbox, there's two reasons that I reply and I try to reply. Rarely, but this definitely does happen. I'm like, okay, delete, delete, delete. I can't, you know, it's just like, it's been a crazy week. But I reply because it's not relevant to me. And I know this salesperson is going to continue to do the best job they can and just keep replying to the point where I eventually end up saying, hey, thanks, but no thanks. And again, it's almost like it's sad and it's doing a disservice to myself for having to experience that and to the person who's working very hard on, oh, you know, Jazz opened up my email. She had a chance to read it. Maybe let me try again. I'll catch it at a better time. But if it's not in an area that I'm focused on, if it's not part of my priorities, I will never pay attention to it. So I love that you guys are making the shift, because I can already see from myself, it would be a use case that I would want to use at OpenSense as a marketer.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, we all know what our priorities are. We're just, I would say there's two reasons. One, we're just nice and we feel like we need to respond, which it, God love us all. Like we, sure, let's make it quicker, right? Like, no thanks, but here you go if you want to see what I really care about. The second thing is, I think we did a research report last year, and I believe it was 67% of people believe that there is opportunity, and this was related to email, but in cold email. So the other thing is, we know that good stuff comes from those cold sales sometimes, or people reaching out. But what we've gotten ourselves to a point of is there's so much crap that we just swipe it all off the plate. We're declaring bankruptcy, right? I look at my LinkedIn inbox, and it's pretty much just a nope for me at this point. Wouldn't the world be nice if there was some way where the good stuff could surface out of that, where you could say to everybody, this is what I'm focused on. If it matches, yeah, show me what you got. But right now, we're just kind of saying, like, I don't have time to weed through all of it and see if it matches what I'm doing and then feel bad that, yeah, I didn't reply or worried about getting caught in a sales cycle. Yeah, it's tricky. Digital boundaries are hard. And so I'm hoping this can be a mini tool in the arsenal of all of us who want to reply or want that opportunity, but we just can't right now.
Totally. And I think it will be, which is awesome. Again, super excited. So thank you for sharing everything about Gated, what you guys are doing. We're going to make sure when this episode does go live and people do end up hearing about it, that they will themselves learn the value straight from you, because you've articulated it very, very well. And what I want to do is kind of focus on you and your experience with all this and what you guys have done now. And this is for all the hungry marketers out there who are trying to get ideas. Because again, I mentioned before, we try to get as many ideas as possible from our guests. But again, you're a one-person marketing team at Gated. You're co-hosting, just like you mentioned, not one, but two podcasts. You're very active on LinkedIn. I want to know, what's your secret as a marketer, a co-founder, and a leader, and a human being who's trying to also do some digital detox, I'm sure. How do you do it all?
Yeah. Well, and you can also throw into the mix, I have two children as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I will answer your question very directly. I don't. I think that's the answer. I don't do it all. I want to give a shout out to a couple different folks, but one person I've been working closely with recently is Leslie Greenwood. She's an incredible champion for both women and entrepreneurship and more. But she and I talk a lot about this, the need to be more open about how we don't do everything. Things fall. So the number one answer to how do I get it all done is I don't. Things get missed. Things fall between the cracks. I consciously don't do some things. I will look at them, look them straight in the face and say, guess what? That's not getting done. And so that's my number one answer, which is don't let anyone think I do it all. Things absolutely get missed. And they get missed on all fronts, right? Like they get missed on the work front. They get missed on the home front. And it's just, in my mind, it's about making the best choices you can about what does get done. So making sure that you're doing the things that you really know are important. To that end, I think a big tool in my personal approach is I like to think about cadence, because sometimes it's hard to just cut something out altogether, to say, I'm not going to do something. One large example of that is our company podcast, Finding Focus. My CEO came to me and he said, as we shrank the team and we went into a pivot, there was so much on the plate, he said, well, we won't be doing the podcast anymore, right? And I looked at it strategically and I looked at it for why we did the podcast and the value that it brought. And I realized it brought a lot of value. I did not want to cut it off the plate completely because I saw it still brought value. But what I could do is evaluate the cadence with which we did it. So a lot of people say you either have to do something or not. And I would say there's one more layer to that, which is look at the things that you still think you need to do and evaluate your cadence. Can you do less of them? Do we have an audience for the podcast that needs an episode every week? We do not. I use it for different purposes. I use it for content and thought leadership, not for like regular weekly viewers. So do I need to do a podcast every week? Nope, I don't. Okay, immediately I've got a win, right? Instead of every week running fast to deliver something that I don't know is just making me crazy. Now it's at a cadence where I can do it enough. It still provides the value we need. That's it. I've set a cadence that is doable and valuable. I would say for any marketers out there, take the things that you're doing and evaluate your cadence. Can you do a little bit less and still get the full value? Because let's be honest, we all go above and beyond with probably everything we do. I think we were all the kids in school who did poster projects that were absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, I remember actually, this is another quote from my longtime career mentor and my SVP at Google for many years. He looked at me one time and he said, Melissa, you do four jobs. Just do the one job and spend the rest of the time on the things you need. Now, that was in relation to taking care of my family and I had new children. But this idea that cadence is something you can choose in addition to just the yes or no, you can actually choose how much of the things you do.
I'm glad that you actually mentioned that because, again, as a marketer, and you're right, we do. If we don't stop and reevaluate what it is that we're doing, we're going to continue the autopilot, which is we still take on more, right? We have to keep the marketing engine running. We continue to try to look at other channels. And it's almost like there is no way that we can turn off something. But for ourselves, for example, at OpenSense, yes, we have Growth Marketing Camp. We're about to start a new podcast related to our compliance tool. And I remember I had this conversation with Yelena and I thought, well, our team isn't getting any bigger. Maybe we should reevaluate, focus on less on volume for this one. Let's just focus on just getting quality guests right now and quality content. So for us, it's like a once a month type of thing. I'm glad that you mentioned that because to hear a fellow marketer say, hey, you don't have to have something every single, you don't have to repeat the cadence. I love that because it makes me more comfortable with my decision. It's something that I think marketers need to be okay with. You don't have to have 100% for every single thing that you do. You can pick and choose. You can change the cadence. There's been times even with our podcast where, you know, shit happens and you have to reel back and you have to say, no, it's okay. You know, it's 2-3 weeks. We had another priority. Something came and it took focus. So let's restart this. And it's okay to pause like you guys did, right? When you realize we're making this big pivot, it's okay to just turn off and then turn back on. It's not the end of the world. So I love that.
Yeah. And if, you know, it reminds me a little bit too about, you know, there's so many great people to follow on LinkedIn, like Ross Simmons with, it's not just, you know, content creation takes a lot of time. It's not so much about creating more content. It's about distributing it well. Like that's the other half of it is we think we have to build. I mean, when it comes to cadence, a big time suck is the creation. So save yourself time on creation, do more distribution. The other part of it too is it's tied to your outcomes, right? So if you're doing something that takes a lot of time and is a lot of bandwidth, but you know it's directly tied to a key outcome, you're going to keep doing it. But if it's something that's maybe slightly more tangential or it's supporting a key outcome, but it's not critical, maybe that's where you take the cadence down a little bit. So, I mean, I think everyone in their own brain is probably thinking, okay, yeah, how different strategies are going to be evaluated with different weight.
Oh, I love that. Now I want to focus a little bit on the strategy that you guys, you, yourself, have built behind the gated go-to-market and the gated evolution. So what are some of your biggest struggles and how did you overcome them?
Yes. And I will take a moment and say it is not just me, right? I have an incredible CEO. He is a marketing ops exec for many, many years at amazing Silicon Valley unicorn. So he is a huge marketer at heart, and he supports a lot of what I do, which is very nice. I also have an incredible roster of advisors, which I'll speak to is actually part of our GTM strategy, many of whom are experienced marketers, and they contribute hugely. And then, of course, just my network of peers. I've built a wonderful circle around me. So I don't really feel alone, which is nice. I am a one-person marketer right now, but it doesn't feel lonely behind the scenes. So to your question, you asked about what are the major struggles. I will say the first one is, number one is really bringing the brand along. We have a very strong existing brand, and what we're doing is very different. So how do you use the old brand to springboard the next, but also, you know, bring people along in the story? Because a lot of people might see the new kind of evolution and go, well, that's not the same thing. I fundamentally see it as the same thing. A couple tricks up my sleeve is, one, we stayed on our mission. So we didn't change our mission. It just looks a lot different. So number two is you got to write a narrative that actually kind of connects those two. So keeping the mission consistent, really having a good narrative that brings people along. And then the third is I did it in stages. So the going dark is part of bringing the brand along. The early user group, the soft launch that I mentioned briefly, that's part of bringing the brand along, not just dropping something new on everyone on day one. And then launching very strategically on a platform where I know we have existing audience. These are all pieces of bringing the brand along, but that's been a big struggle, a challenge. The second big challenge that I have, probably personally, but I guess it applies to anyone doing this, is shipping things that are not perfect. It's hard. We all know I love things that are A+. The taste gap is very present in my mind at all times. I see things that I know are great, and then I see what I'm shipping and go, oh my God, it's not perfect. But you have to. You cannot stop. I mean, the whole product pivot that we are doing right now, this would take 9 months minimum, tens of thousands of dollars, and a multiple person team at a larger company. I am doing it in 2 months with just me and effectively $0. So do I have the time to ship things that are perfect? Absolutely not. Do I stay up late at night getting stressed out over the fact that I am shipping things that are not perfect? Absolutely, I do. So when you ask about big challenges, that was one that came to mind personally.
That is awesome. And again, glad that you mentioned that, because I feel like if you're a marketer, that's something that we all struggle with. But it's that quote, right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done. And we are the biggest critics of our own work. Yes. So, you know, I've actually mentioned this to Yelena before too, because sometimes even when we're doing blogs and I'm like, kill your darlings, you have to be okay with, it does not have to be amazing. It doesn't have to be perfect. The more I look at something anyways, even if I find that something is perfect, if I look back at it a month later, I will still find things to pick apart and optimize it. So at the end of the day, you guys are just moving forward, focus on moving forward. And I love that. Love that you mentioned that. You guys also have a bunch of advisors and you've tapped into influencers to help you. So I am very appreciative. I'm glad that you don't feel like you are alone in this, because you're not. So how did you manage to rally and get so many influencers to join you on this quest?
Yeah, you know, it was really funny. Once upon a time, I thought I coined this term and I absolutely did not. So I need to figure out who did it first. But I like to refer to the strategy that we used with our first launch. And frankly, we are returning to in a lot of ways with our second launch, as circles of influence. So there are different groups that I see bundled around Gated, and each one of those groups obviously has a different reason, incentive to be a part of what we're doing. But then each one of them also has different tasks that they can do to support us. So this idea of building circles of influence, but then really, like, I feel like I'm a general in the battle sometimes, organizing it very clearly. Looking at the groups, looking at each circle and saying, this is what these people do for this reason. This is the backbone of what we do. To explain it a little more clearly, you've kind of got Gated in the center with our team. Right around that, I see our advisors. So we do have advisors. It is not fluffy and in name only. They have equity. They have contracts with us. These are people that we chose to keep very close to us because they're extremely talented in what they do. And that doesn't stay into one niche. It goes all over. We have someone who's worked on, you know, incredible branding campaigns in the past. We have other people who are sales leaders. it's not biased on what they do. It's just people that we knew we wanted to have in our close circles. So those advisors are our champions. They are super close to us and we can ask things of them because we have like an actual, you know, legal relationship. With a team that's super, super small, it's really nice because that's effectively our bigger company around us. Beyond that, the next group that I look at are what I call the supporters. These are maybe not official advisors, but they are people who have personally invested in Gated, people who are super passionate about what we do, people who have taken the time to even give of their company in some way. I think of Splice Video. We've worked with Nick Capozzi at Splice Video because he just loves Gated and he's given us some services and we give him amplification. So there are these incredible supporters of Gated. Now you can imagine they are also in our camp, but I'm going to engage them in a slightly different way than our official advisors. Beyond the supporters, you've kind of got the fans. These are your social followings, right? Your LinkedIn following, your TikTok following, people who maybe follow Andy, our CEO, online, but maybe not the company as a whole. It's that next group of folks that is probably about telling them things, but not necessarily asking them to do much. And then, of course, beyond there, you've got, let me say, the next one is really our target audience. It's anyone else who maybe doesn't even know about Gated, but should, right? And each of those circles, you're going to ask for things and you're going to share things in a different way. And it's all about building a battle plan for how to activate those in the right way. Now, there's so many different formats and channels and strategies that play each of them. But strategically, that's how I think about the launch that we did previously and in a very similar way, our next one. There are definitely differences in the campaigns we're running, but the circles of influence has been a pillar for us.
I have never actually heard of circles of influence. So in my world, in my reality, you've coined that.
Bingo.
So I absolutely love that. And I like the way you kind of broke it down and again, changed it based off of who it is that you guys are targeting. Either you give more and expect less, or you just give value and you have less of an ask. I love that.
Yep.
For anyone who's looking to go all in and do something similar to what you guys have done, what advice would you give them?
I would say, don't forget to laugh. Don't forget to take breaks. It can be so overwhelming. The podcast, which I, as you know, accidentally started, is built for small team marketers. And part of it is not to solve their problems. It's just to have a place to take a deep breath and like not get so serious about it. We always talk, a question I ask is, tell us about a marvelous mess that you've been in. And that's how I feel. If you can't enjoy the mess that is startup marketing, don't take on such a big project like this, right? Like that's how I would say it. So number one is build in time to laugh and take breaks and give yourself some community to rely on because it's going to get messy, period. The second one really ties back to the last point of discussion that we had, which is surround yourself with awesome people. Surround yourself with people who are uplifting, reinforce, you know, your strengths, are candid and share, people who don't hold back, people who aren't just on the surface level, but really give you good feedback and challenge your thinking. That is by far and away the most advice I could give, is surround yourself with great people. And some people are true givers and they will show up over and over again and give you tons. Some people may just pop in for a moment, but they're worth it. And it's the people that's around you that makes it work.
Definitely. And again, to reiterate for anyone else who's, especially marketers, right? We're super high on ourselves. Yes, laugh, take breaks, surround yourself with wonderful people, and accept that it's going to get messy. So I love that. Now at the end, the secret is out. This episode is live and everybody knows. What's next for you?
Well, for us, it's going to be pretty quickly. I mean, launching is a moment in time. I see this as kind of a lightning strike moment of actually being public with this launch. But then for me, it's all about user growth. So I need to be acquiring, for this particular product, it's about large amounts of user growth. And then, you know, revenue monetization comes later. So we are going to be highly, highly focused on growth. And from my perspective, that's about getting users, but it's also about learning from those users. Just as we did to kind of spark this whole shift, it's about growing with the idea that we can learn more about the product and evolve faster. And from a marketing stage, you know, get better messaging. I do have a fun story with our first foray with email management. I was learning from these users as they were coming on board and really getting great stuff. And we actually got our tagline from one of our customers. I mean, he verbalized it. And I said, can I use that? So Rob Wilson at Calendly was using our our solution, and he called it the noise-canceling headphones for email. And I was on a call and went, oh my God, you know, you could spend thousands on marketing the campaign support and never come up as anything good as one customer can come up with in a conversation. So what's next for me? I will be focused on growth, yes, to get a lot of users, but also just to be listening.
Oh, I love that. And huge props to him for coming up with that, because that is phenomenal. Even if I didn't know gated and I had no context in what you guys do, that's enough to give me the context. And that's what a tagline should do.
I know. Now I just need it for the next. I'm still searching for it for the next one.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely. I'm sure you're going to find something, especially if you're planning to listen. So, and by the way, you guys, I lied. This episode is not completely different, because one thing that I want to do with you that we've been doing with every single guest, because my favorite, honestly, it is my favorite part, is the rapid fire. If you're down for that. A fun way to end this awesome episode. And then I can give you your Friday back, because I'm sure you got fun plans. And I'll ask you at the end what you're planning on doing, because it is a long weekend.
It is, yes.
All right. So the idea behind this, you have to be quick. But a lot of marketers that I've spoken to are not quick.
I'm going to be quick. I'm going to set the standard. I'm going to be super quick.
Fantastic. What made you smile today?
Earlier this morning, in the middle of a busy day, my daughter walked in the door and out of absolutely nowhere said, Mommy, can we make flan? And I have no idea where that came from, but that's what I love about kids. It was so random.
It hurt. I absolutely love that. And when I was like 14, 15 years old, I randomly had an obsession to eat flan. And I remember I told my mom and my dad, I want flan. I think I had seen it somewhere in one of my mom's cookbooks. And then when I finally had it, I'm like, this is really weird. The texture.
Didn't want to eat it. My kids made perfect restaurant quality dessert flan.
Yeah.
And then they both. And my husband and I were gobbling it up, and they looked at me and they were like, this tastes weird. I'm like, no, it tastes perfect. It was a creme caramel, like perfect.
That is hilarious. So she probably, this happens. Melissa, I'm telling you, this happens. Flan has captured the attention of every generation.
In jiggles. It's like a high quality Jello.
What is your spirit fruit?
This is a fascinating one. Okay, one popped into my head. I'm going to say pear. And the reason I say that is, it's really hard to find a dang good pear. And when I actually get one, it completely reminds me of my childhood. I grew up in Northern California, and my grandmother always had pears, and I cannot get one for the life of me where I live now. So pear, strange.
That is the first time I've heard pear. So I'm very, very excited. It's very unique. And I love a good pear. Now I'm going to ask you, what is it, a crunchy pear or a soft pear? Because I've had both.
No, it's the one that I'm thinking of from the spirit fruit, as we're getting at, is... one where you bite in and it's like so drippy down your face. Like
that's
it's
the soft ones. Yeah.
I don't want it to be mushy, because we all know that goes wrong. But like it's mostly soft and it kind of, yeah.
I know. I used to work in produce. So I used to know all the pears. So like, anyways, I don't remember. I just remember Barlett pear. I don't think. So it may have been that. If I, now, next time at the grocery store, I'm gonna pick up a variety of pear and I'm going to try it. Yeah. Yep. So thank you. Thank you for that. Salty or sweet?
Salty every day. Salty.
Oh, yeah, the salty is great. What is your last impulse buy?
Oh, last impulse buy. Oh, this is like revealing too much about how boring my life is. I was super low on socks, and I bought a huge amount of Bombas socks the other day. Like too many socks. I went on their website and was like, I need all of these socks.
Amazing. Bombas, shout out to our customer, Bombas. I have one pair of Bombas socks. I have a bunch of socks. And you know what, Melissa? For some reason, maybe you experience the same thing. I feel like I always buy socks, but I can never find my socks. I can never find socks.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
what? Yeah, add kids into that. And I think the other day I counted 24 individual of my daughter's socks. Just the individuals.
Yeah. There's a business opportunity for some marketer out there to solve that pain. Okay, socks. What is one pet peeve you have?
Oh, it's going to be something grammatical. I'm a total word nerd, and I hate when people use, you know, idioms incorrectly, or they mess up there, and there. That drives me absolutely up the wall. So anything grammatical, I'm sorry, call me pretentious, but I hate dumb grammar mistakes.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're just a marketer. That's what you. Yeah. What is one word you hate hearing?
Okay, I've got one. Just. My kids say all the time, I'm just. It just means, and I just said it, that it's not going to be what you want. I'm just doing this. It's always not delivering you what you want. So just is not the word.
Oh, I like that. I do like that. I'm going to pay attention whenever people use the word just now. What title would you give this chapter of your life?
I would call it Big Wild Life, because about 10 years ago, we moved as a family up to Alaska, and I live a very outdoorsy life, but I also think it's more of an adventure than I've had in the past. I was doing, you know, the same job at the big company, and before that, kind of predictable future. And I think moving up here, living a different way, taking on chances like the startup world, I feel like this period of my life has been living big, wild choices.
Absolutely love that. That's a great one. If you could pick one superpower, what would you choose?
Everybody has this conversation, right? I talk about it on hikes for some reason whenever you do that. I don't know. Not invisibility, not flying. Can I teleport? I would like to teleport. That
totally
would be mine.
Totally can. 100%.
Make traveling easier.
It really does. What is your favorite rainy day activity?
Card games with my family. Card games or board games with my family by the fire.
Yeah, I love that. Very nostalgic. What is one random thing you cannot live without?
Ooh, boy. That's a good one. A thing?
Yes.
Wow. These are really good. I need to be quicker. I'm going to say music by The Killers. They are absolutely, whenever I have a good day or a bad day or a frustrating day or a happy day, I'm always putting on something by The Killers. And if you think they're just the songs that they did at the beginning, you are wrong and you should listen to them. Because
I actually haven't listened to, so I'm going to listen to them right after this interview. I'm going to turn it on my Spotify.
100%. I'll send you all of my best favorites. They're great.
Please do. Last question, and you told me a bunch of people inspire you, but who inspires you? Who do you think we should invite onto the show?
Same question, like one and the same. Who inspires me and who should we invite on the show?
Yeah, maybe if you can find one person that inspires you that we should invite onto the show.
Oh, I love that. One person that inspires me that you should invite onto the show. I have fallen madly in love with Ashley McAlpin, who heads up marketing at Rockerbox right now. She is an absolute pistol. She is brilliant. She is a no-holds-barred, candid advice giver. And damn, is she capable. I mean, she has seen startup growth at multiple different startups, and that's really the world that I live in. There's a lot of great tech, SaaS, B2B folks who are at these larger companies. But when I think of people who have lived on the ground, small team marketing, she's one of my recent favorites, and I think she's just a dynamo.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely reach out to her. And again, thank you so much for the exclusive, for sharing everything that you guys have done at Gated, where Gated is headed. And when this episode is live, everyone will hear it. But how can people opt in and how can they be a part of your journey?
Right now, I will go ahead and tell you that people should find me and see exactly what I'm focused on at gated.com/@Melissa, because that is my Gated profile. And you can see all about what I really care about there. I'm also on LinkedIn pretty regularly. So for your particular audience, they may want to follow me on LinkedIn, a little more entertaining right now than my current lack of TikTok.
Yeah, well, 100% they will. And we will make sure we share your profile. But finally, and then I'll let you go. What are you planning on doing this long weekend?
We are refinishing our basement. So I feel like, you know, Frank and old school. It's going to be a sweet little Saturday going down and working on the basement, doing a little Home Depot run, planting in the garden. It's going to be a home fix-up weekend for me. Nothing terribly exciting.
Well, you know what? I will say it sounds very productive. And I don't know, like I've told my husband, he loves Home Depot and he loves trying to drag me to Home Depot. And I've told him it's not fair that I see husbands at Home Depot by themselves. Why do I have to go with you?
Because there are fun sections of the store that you can go shopping in and people bring their dogs to train. So there's always dogs to see.
Oh, okay. So that is why I would go. And you're right. The only section that I really do enjoy at Home Depot is their plant section, which I find is underrated. And it's very cheap compared to nurseries.
It absolutely is. Yes. I like the plant section.
So we'll enjoy the rest of your weekend. And to our Growth Marketing Camp community, hope you guys enjoy this episode and we will catch you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Growth Marketing Camp. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would give it a quick 5-star rating or share it with a friend or colleague looking to strengthen their skills with tips and inspiration. If you want to learn more about the company behind the show, head to opensense.com. That's OPENSENSE.com. We'll catch you on the next episode.